This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Amen and amen. Amen. So we are wrapping up the series for the month that we have called Abundant Life. And if you have the church app, and I wish everybody would get the app, the sermon notes is already on the church app. You can follow along on the app. You know, when you look at the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you ask yourself, what is the greatest lesson from the life of our Lord Jesus Christ? I dare to say this morning that it's probably not the miracles. It's probably not the signs and the wonders. It's probably not the great anointing and the great power that he had. I believe the greatest lesson in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is his submission and obedience to God. When you think about it, is God himself, the second person of the Godhead, he came to the earth and he submitted himself totally and completely to the will of the Father. He had power without restriction. Yet he said in John chapter 5 verse 19, for example, he says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. How does someone with all the power and all the resources in the world, how does it come to conclude that of myself, I can do nothing? That is submission, and that is obedience. In the same chapter, chapter 5, verse 30, he says, I can do nothing on my own. I can do nothing on my own. I put it to you this morning that these statements that Jesus is making, he's not making them based on ability. He's not saying, I am not able to. I can, but I have submitted myself and I have surrendered myself to my Father. So the obedience is something that is so unique. And Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he was obedient even to death on the cross. He was obedient all the way. Can I challenge you this morning by saying that all God requires of you is not power and anointing and miracles and signs and wonders. All God requires of you and myself is obedience. Is obedience. That's why Jesus said in John 14:21, he said, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. So no matter how I say I love God or I love Jesus, the proof of my love is my obedience to his commandments. So if I don't obey his commandments, I can't claim to love him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. So anyone that says, I know God, but disobeys him, does not know God. If I know him, the proof of my knowledge of God is my obedience to God. The first sin that is ever recorded in scripture is not the apple people say they ate. The first sin that was committed was the sin of disobedience. The sin of disobedience. So today, as we wrap up the series on the abundant life, I want to talk on the acceptable offering. The Bible says in the end times that some men will secretly creep into the church and will be teaching some strange doctrines and doctrines of the devil. And that has already started to happen. So I know there's so much talk out there about different things, about offering, about tithe, about first fruit, and about all of those things. What I'm going to do the next few Sundays is to give you scriptural basis for everything that is being talked about. And when you see from the scripture, the only choice you have if you love God is to obey him. That's the only choice. There's no two choices. The only choice you and I have is to obey him. So let's open our Bibles as we begin today. I know we probably won't be able to finish, but that's okay. We'll continue next week. Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through 10. Genesis chapter 4, from 1 through 10. Now Adam has sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the first lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. I want you to remember that. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. So let me just quickly say this in case I skip over it later on. If yourself is not acceptable to the Lord, your gift will not be acceptable to him. So the first thing is yourself being acceptable to him. As you are acceptable to him, then your gift maybe will be acceptable. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. But he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." One day, verse 8, one day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Verse 9, afterward the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know." Cain responded, "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Hallelujah. There's a principle about Bible interpretation that is important for you to understand. So that as we go through this series, you don't take sound bites and say somebody else said this. If you are going to establish any doctrine in Scripture, the first place you start is the book of the beginning, which is the book of Genesis. So you want to look for that thing. Is it, what did he say about it in the book of Genesis? And then from Genesis, because David, the psalmist, David was one of those, the Bible says he was the apple of God's eyes. He was so close. He had a tight relationship with God. And God gave him so many revelations. He saw revelations of Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus was born. So when you see it in Genesis, you go to the book of Psalms, see if it is established there. And then you can jump to the book, the Gospels, because the Gospels gives us an account of the life of Jesus and the things that he did. Is that thing established in the Gospels? And then you go to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, because the book of Acts tells us how those early believers, how they lived their life. And then again, you look into the epistles. What did the letters written to the churches, what did they have to say about that truth? I will tell you one sure way to run into heresy. One sure way to go into heresy is taking one verse of scripture and just running with it. He said, how about this verse? And then that's the only thing. Even the Bible tells us, it said, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. So in this journey, that is what we're going to attempt to accomplish. And if anyone has any questions, I'm available to answer your questions. So the book of Genesis is the book of beginning. This is why in Matthew chapter 19, when the Pharisees and the scribes, when they went to Jesus, they said, Master, is it okay for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Jesus took them back to the beginning. He said, what did the Bible say in the beginning? He said, in the beginning, it was not so. Moses made up the excuse for you, but in the beginning, it was not so. So Jesus went back to the beginning. So today, we're going to go to the beginning. We have read chapter 4, but I want to remind you that chapter 4 didn't just happen. In chapter 1, God created everything. And at the end of chapter 1, he looked at everything he had created. He said it was very beautiful. And in chapter 2, the extension of creation, and then the animals were named and Eve was made and all of those beautiful, wonderful things. And then in chapter 3, they sinned against God. And I told you, the primary sin is a sin of disobedience. They did what God said, don't do. The enemy came and planted doubts in their hearts about the integrity of God. Watch out for those that are sowing seeds of doubt in your heart about the word of God. So, in chapter 3, they messed up. God told them consequences. And then in chapter 4, the story begins as we want to read it today. So, in chapter 4, the verse 1, I'm going to talk about five things if I can take all five. But the first thing I want to talk about today is the verse 1 in itself. In verse 1, the Bible says, now. Somebody say now. When you don't start a sentence or a statement with now. Now suggests to you that some things have preceded. So they have sinned. God had given the consequence for their sin. But then in chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and that produced a child. If you are following on the app, the missing word is Adam and Eve moved past their sin. Adam and Eve, they moved past their sins. One of the tricks of the enemy in the church today is Satan will keep you focused on your last mistake. The enemy will keep you engaged on your last fall. The enemy wants to keep reminding you that you, it's not people like you they are talking about. They say, oh, yeah, all the people should come together to pray. And you too, you are raising who? You? Did you forget? He keeps reminding you of your past, but Adam and Eve, one way or another, they were able to move past their sin. Even though they have been kicked out of the garden, they didn't say, now it's all over, we're just going to live and die. They continued living. I'm challenging somebody under the sound of my voice today. I beseech you by the mercies of God, move past that mistake. And look at your neighbor, say, move past that mistake. Move past that error. Get over it. Get it over with and move on. Because there's a great future ahead of you. There's a great future ahead of me. If it is mistakes and errors, trust me, in my lifetime, I have done a few. Oh, I've done a few. There's been crises that I found myself in that I knew there is nobody responsible for this but myself. I got myself into it by my foolishness. So the situation you're in, you may have gotten yourself into it by your foolishness, but don't let it determine your life. Don't let it control your life. Don't let it be the determinant factor of your life. You know why? Because Jesus gave his life, he shed his blood for the remission of sin. And because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave, that he made, he has given opportunity for us to be able to repent and move on from with our lives. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus, verse 7, it says the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all sin. The blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all sin. Every sin, the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from it. Praise the Lord. So leave the past in the past. Some people will say, oh, I'm neck deep in this thing. I can't come out. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You can come out of it. And you will come out of it in the name of Jesus. So number two, very quickly, they had two sons. The Bible says in verse 2, and she gave birth to her brother Abel. And Abel was a shepherd of sheep, and Cain was a husbandman of the land. And it happened in the course of time. Somebody say, in the course of time. I like the way the old King James puts it. The old King James says, in the process of time. He said, and in the process of time, certain things happened. Let me ask you, in the process of time, how long do you think that is? In the process of time. That Cain became a farmer and Abel became a shepherd. How many years do you think? 20 years? Anybody? 12? Anybody else? In the process of time, let me put the process of time in perspective for us. We know, according to Genesis 5 account, that in this time, they lived up to 900, 800, 700 years. Yes? That was the lifespan. So if a 20-year-old in our minds is an adult, you know, adolescent is getting into adulthood, yeah? How old do you think that an adult or adolescent will be in that process of time? I'll say maybe like 150, 200 years. You know, if you go by fraction, 20, if we live 100 years, is 1/5. You know, 1/5 of almost 1,000 is like 200 years. So I would say maybe 150. So the folks we're talking about here are not small boys. These are not toddlers. In the process of time, will be at least 100 years. Regardless of how you cut it or slice it. At least 100 years. So it's been a while that they have been around. The reason I am saying this is when you understand the process of time. You see, the problem is when we read Bible, we read too fast. So we don't get the complexity of everything that is saying. So if they are, let's say, 150 years old, and Cain had been farming, and Abel has been rearing sheep, when you look at the offering that they brought, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but don't let me jump. Let's pace ourselves. Okay? So let's say Abel had been a shepherd for 20 years, maybe, in the process of time. He had been a shepherd for 20 years. In 20 years, if he started with, let's say 30 sheep, let's use sheep or let's use goat as an example. You know, if he started with 30 goats, for example, let's say 10 males and 20 females, yeah? In the process of time, when a goat gives birth, how many little ones does a goat give birth to? Two? Four? Let's say two. Because, you know, by the grace of God, by training, I'm a veterinary doctor. The West African dwarf goats can give birth up to four, so you are absolutely right. But let's use two as our number. Okay? Let's say two. So if you had 20 females. Are you following me? It's a bit technical, but we'll get past the technicality in a little bit. So, he had 20 female goats. Let's say each one of the 20 female goats had two babies. We call them kids. That's why it's not good to call your children these kids, because a kid is a baby goat. You know, so let's say each one has two kids. So it means by the time they cycle one time, it will have how many goats now? 70. Wow, this is very challenging. So each one had two times 20, that's 40, plus the original 30, that's 70. Okay, so we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. And I can tell you, a goat takes about 7-8 months to mature and ready to reproduce. So over a period of 20 years, when you consider the exponential proportion that they are reproducing, because the mothers that gave birth to those 40 are still reproducing. The 40 that were given birth to are also still reproducing. So imagine how many goats do you think in the process of time Abel had? Just a wild guess. Thousands. Let's say 3,000. Let's say 3,000. And Cain, over this period too, is planting, is harvesting, they are eating. Life is good. Life is good. They are moving on with their lives. The question is, why did God accept one and reject the other? Of Cain and Abel is not prayer. It's not worship. It was their offering. The first time offering was mentioned ever in Scripture was in relation to this story. So that tells us something. The Bible could have told us how Adam and Eve had instructed them and told them about God and how they were worshiping God and how they were praising God, but the Bible did not tell us all of that. Their first act that is recorded in Scripture is their offering. Is their offering. And it's very, very important for us to pay close attention. Because one was accepted and one was rejected. No wonder the first account that is reported is of their offering. Hallelujah. So, we see in verse 3 that in the process of time, Cain brought his offering unto the Lord. In the Old King James, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of his field, of the ground, to the Lord. He brought an offering. That word, offering, in Hebrew, is the word minha. I know I probably am not saying it right, so it's not important. But what does it mean is what is important. The word minha in Hebrew is translated offering, but it's not limited to offering. It's also translated a present, an oblation, a sacrifice, a meat offering, or a tribute. We're going to take three very quickly. So the word offering, minha in Scripture, in different places where you see minha appears as a gift in some places. A gift. What is a gift? Number one, what is a gift? So the missing in under three, the missing word there is gift. A gift is voluntary. You are not coerced to give a gift. When Dr. Ayo was receiving the tithe and the offering, he said, we are not pressurizing you. We are not forcing you. This is a free will thing. A gift is a free will thing. When you see what Cain and Abel did here, There was no suggestion that God required anything of them. They brought an offering unto the Lord. That is why the New Living Translation of the Bible, instead of saying offering, said they brought a gift unto the Lord. So a gift is voluntary. A gift is voluntary. You are not compelled, but your gift, listen close to this now, your gift, the gift that you bring demonstrates the importance or the significance of the person to whom you are giving a gift. Praise the Lord. A gift. A gift. If you had the opportunity to meet the general overseer and you were taking a gift to him, what would you take? So, what I'm saying is your gift is a reflection of your value of the person to whom you are giving the gift. Oh, some people say, it doesn't matter, you know, or it's just the heart. No. Your gift tells us how you feel about the person that you are giving stuff to. If I'm going to buy my wife a birthday gift, it's going to be a good one. I have a lifetime to spend with her. I'd better make it good. You understand what I'm saying? And many people, when you are caught in, you know, today young people will say, we are talking. When they are talking, the gifts are very good. You know, that's why some wives are angry. It's like, I remember when we were talking. I remember how you used to bring gifts. Now that we are married and I'm pregnant, there's no gift for me. So your gift speaks volume about the significance of the person you are giving the gift to. You know, some people, it really does not matter. If you like, let the sky drop. They have determined, when I get to church today, I'm giving $1. $1. So, if you like, that's why I advise my ministers. I said, the long talk doesn't change the gift. Just receive the gift. The only thing is for God to touch the hearts of men and for us to be willing to hear and do what God is calling us to do. So, Minha can be a gift. The church, gave me a gift of a brand new car last year, a Toyota Camry 2017. That speaks volume of you as a church and the way you view your pastor. A gift speaks volume. And when you are giving to God, that is why God told them in Malachi chapter 1, he said, the gift you bring to me, can you present it to your governor? He said, can you give that gift to your governor? But you bring it to me. You bring it to me. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27. After Saul was made king, the Bible says everybody brought him gifts. Everybody brought him gifts. But then in verse 27, it says, but there were some scoundrels who complained. But there were some scoundrels who said, how can this fellow save us? They despised him and brought him what? No gift. They despised him and therefore they brought him no gift. So when we appear before God and we don't bring a gift, that also speaks volume. That is why God told the children of Israel, he said, you must not appear before the Lord empty. You must not appear before the Lord empty. There are so many other examples in scripture. King Solomon, Jehoshaphat, praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible talks about the wise men when they came to Jesus. They brought him gold, they brought him silver, they brought him frankincense, and they brought him myrrh. Hallelujah. They brought him gifts. They brought him gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 11 and 12, 1 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12, it says, since we have planted spiritual seeds among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? So what he's talking about here, he says, you have other ministers come to minister to you. You know, and I see even here in our church, we have a guest minister that came to speak and everybody's squeezing envelope. They want to put offering in the hand of the man of God. I totally support that. But if you have not been given to your pastor and then somebody, a stranger comes and you are running, the anointing that will work for you is the anointing of the house. Is the anointing of the house. Number two. Minha. I told you we can't finish today. Let's just stop there. Let's stop there. Your worship is incomplete without your gift. They came to Jesus. They bowed down. They worshiped him. But they did not come with empty hands. They came with gifts in their hands. My worship is not complete if I come and I worship him and I don't bring him a gift. My gift is my appreciation of him. You know, I forgot where we were. And I was checking my phone. I was looking because I do steps on my phone. You know that thing? Why are you looking at me like that? I know you do it too. I'm counting steps on my phone, you know? So somebody said to me, ah, Pastor, is that how you do? Nobody does that anymore. They have smartphones smart watches that do that. So I'll give you that for your birthday. So Sister Omi was laughing at me the first time I wore it. So I'm going. I said, yes. What's the time? Yes. Let me count the steps. 5,000 already. When we come to the Lord to worship, our worship is incomplete without our gift. I know I have not addressed why one was accepted and the other was not. I will talk about that next week. But trust me, it's not for the reason of the nonsense that you have had before. And I want you to also remember our calculation. Where we are right now is Abel has at least 3,000 goats. Amen. Rise to your feet. Lift up both hands to heaven. Perhaps you have been worshiping without a gift in your hand. I want you to repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I've ever disregarded you, disregarded your presence, or you have brought him a gift that is lame. That's what God rejected in Malachi chapter 1. Say, you bring me a goat that is blind. You bring me an offering that is lame. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy, Jehovah. Have mercy, mighty God. I give myself away. Oh, Lord.
I give myself away.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.